On the Way to Emmaus, Chapter 92. The little village of Emmaus lies to the northwest of Jerusalem. We read in the Bible that it was situated about 60 furlongs from Jerusalem. According to most explanations, the distance between Jerusalem and Emmaus was a walk of 2.5 hours. On this particular afternoon, two men leave the city and go toward the village of Emmaus. Are they cheerful and in high spirits? No, look, you see a sad, gloomy expression upon their faces. Do you hear the sorrowful sound which is concealed in their voices? Their whole behavior points to dejectedness. Who are these men? Ah, I need not tell you, for you know, don't you? They are the disciples who no longer could remain with the women and the other disciples, so they had left them. Alas, everything is lost. They believe Jesus is dead and will remain dead. There is nothing they can do. It is altogether hopeless. When the women and Mary Magdalene brought them the glad tidings that Jesus was alive, and they had seen him, these disciples also shook their heads dejectedly. Alas, it cannot be true. Surely these women are deceiving themselves. If it were true what they had said, why didn't Peter and John see him? Didn't they go to look? Oh yes, it is true. The grave was empty, but if there were the angels there, these two disciples surely would have seen them. They were annoyed by these women. Finally, and they no longer could remain there. The happiness of the women irritated them. They stood up in anger and went away. They did not want to listen to such talk. They now walked from Jerusalem to Emmaus, busily talking with each other about Jesus. Oh, why? Wasn't it hopeless? Wasn't Jesus dead? Wouldn't he remain dead? Why talk any more about this deceiver? Deceiver? Oh no, these two travelers to Emmaus dare not say that. Deep down in their hearts, there still is love for Jesus. Oh, they cannot miss him. Without him, their lives are empty and miserable. But they must do without him, for he is dead. This is the reason for their grief. This is why their faces are so sad. They cannot forget him. That is why they talk about the things which took place during the past few days. Their hearts shrink together from sadness and misery. Why, oh, why did all these things have to happen in this way? If he were really the Messiah, why didn't he defend himself? Why didn't he show his almighty power? In his wrath, why didn't he cast down those cruel enemies? Why must the accursed crucifixion be his end? They could not answer all these questions. They are oppressed and completely confused. But to call him a deceiver? Oh no, they never would dare do that. Suddenly a stranger speaks to them and they frighten. Most likely they hadn't noticed him before. This stranger also seems to be going to Emmaus. At least he continues to walk with them. You needn't think they were happy with his company. They would much rather have been alone. With such a strange intruder joining them, they cannot talk together as intimately as before. They look at him slyly. They do not know him. Why are you conversing so busily? Asks the unknown traveler. Why are you so sad? Why do you look so grieved? Is something wrong? Does something weigh heavily upon you? One of the travelers to Emmaus, whose name was Cleopas, answers sharply, "Don't you know what has happened in Jerusalem during the last few days? Are you a stranger in Jerusalem?" Cleopas doesn't even answer the unknown traveler's question. He really gives him a curt reply. However, he does not get angry. He inquires in a friendly way, "What things?" He means, "What has happened? Will you tell me about it?" Because this stranger insists in such a friendly way, they yield to him and tell him about Jesus, their master. They tell him he was a prophet, mighty in words and deeds. They tell him how Jesus was taken prisoner by the Jewish rulers, and how he was crucified. All their hearts are full of this subject. And they tell how they had hoped Jesus of Nazareth truly was the Messiah, but now he already is dead 3 days. Thus, dejectedly, and with a despairing motion, they draw up their shoulders. Now that they have begun speaking, they tell everything. They continue, "This morning some women told us the grave was empty, and the angels were seen at the sepulchre. These angels were supposed to have said Jesus is alive. But when two of his disciples went to look if it were true, they found the empty grave, but didn't see anything else." We hear the doubt, the unbelief in their voices. Perhaps these last words were followed by a deep sigh. With moist eyes, they sadly stare into space. "O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." "Oh, who says this?" It is the stranger who says this to the two travelers to Emmaus. He calls them fools and says they are slow of heart. Thus, he reprimands them. Do they become angry when they hear these words? No, they have no time to become angry, because this stranger begins to tell them that all those things had to happen. Moses and the other prophets all had foretold the coming of the Messiah, and also the suffering and dying of Christ. This unknown stranger begins to explain to them all the prophecies. He makes all things clear and plain. He speaks to them about the meaning of these prophecies. He shows them how everything was fulfilled during the recent happenings. It was necessary for Jesus to suffer and die. The two travelers to Emmaus listen speechlessly. Never before were they so spoken to. The Bible never was explained so plainly to them. All this stranger says is so true. Their eyes were opened to understand the prophecies. They forget their sorrow and misery while they listen intently. Quietly and calmly, the unknown stranger speaks on. They enter the village of Emmaus before they are aware of it. Unnoticed, and they have reached the end of their destination. How short the journey had seemed. When they reach their home, the stranger salutes them. He would walk further. But the Emmaus travelers will not have him to go further. They ask him to remain and lodge with them for the night. They say, "The sun is going down, and soon it will be dark. Abide with us." Yes, they constrain him to go with them into the house. Finally, their unknown companion enters the dwelling with them. The Emmaus travelers hope he will tell them more about Jesus of Nazareth. Their hearts burn with desire to hear more. First, they must eat something, because they have had a long journey. Quickly a plain meal is made ready. And what then? Neither Cleopas nor his friend asks for a blessing upon the food, but the stranger prays. The stranger also takes the bread, breaks it in pieces, and gives them this food. This stranger acts as though he is the host. The two Emmaus travelers watch all this with astonishment. They are surprised. Suddenly, a shock goes through these two unbelieving men, and their eyes are opened. At once, they see who their unknown host is. He is the Lord Jesus. Probably they saw the scars of the nails in his hands, and they recognized their beloved master. They thought he was dead. Now they see he is alive. He had walked with them from Jerusalem to Emmaus. From his own lips they have heard the explanation of the prophecies. Suddenly he disappears from their sight. They no longer see him, but the blessed happiness remains in their hearts. Their unbelief, doubt, and anger are gone, taken out of their hearts by the Savior. They have received answers to all the questions which were in their hearts. They no longer doubt, and they now know the women did not tell them idle tales, but have told them the truth. They surely were ashamed because of their unbelief. Oh, and they were so glad they could shout for joy. Immediately these two men hastily returned to Jerusalem. What? Now that the Lord has appeared to them, shall they remain in Emmaus? No, indeed not. They must immediately go to tell the other disciples. They will share their happiness with them. Therefore they lock the door and hurry to the city. The sun already has gone down, and they will have to walk the long journey in the dark. But this matters little. They will gladly do it. They want to make the others, who probably are sitting dejectedly together, happy too. Soon they walk through the streets of Jerusalem and come to the house in which the disciples of Jesus are gathered. Upon their knock, the door is opened very cautiously, and for the disciples are afraid and carefully had locked the door. Strange rumors are going around the city. They are being accused of stealing the body of Jesus. Oh, soon they may be taken captive by the Roman soldiers. The governor may punish them severely. For this reason, they have bolted the door. And with fearful hearts, they listen to every noise which they hear. Now you can understand why they so cautiously open the door. The two Emmaus travelers walk inside. But before they can tell what has happened, the disciples say to them, "The Lord is risen indeed. Simon also saw him." They tell what has happened on the way to Emmaus. Gladness reigns in the hearts of the women and in the heart of Mary Magdalene. Happiness shines in the eyes of the two Emmaus travelers. And do you not see how affected Simon is? It is really Easter for them. The risen Christ has appeared to them. Has it ever been Easter in truth for you, children? The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. This was said to the returned Emmaus travelers. Simon? Simon? Who is Simon? Don't you know? With Simon they meant Peter. What? Did the Lord Jesus seek Peter? That liar? That perjurer? Yes, boys and girls, The Lord Jesus sought and found his unfaithful disciple who had denied him so basely. Peter went away from the rest of his friends. Why? Did he also become angry? Was he also offended with the happiness of the women and Mary Magdalene? Would he no longer listen to the idle tales? No, Peter went away for another reason. He could no longer endure being there. Why not? The women had said he was alive. Mary Magdalene's message was the same. His denial of his master returned very plainly and clearly to his thoughts. He had declared under oath that he did not know the man. Now this living Jesus will have nothing more to do with him. He no longer belongs with the other disciples. He is an unfaithful disciple, a liar. When he hears Jesus is alive, doubt comes into his heart. Is it true? And if it is true, he dare not come into his master's presence. He did accompany John to the grave, but the grave was empty. He sought for seclusion, and there he sobbed out his grief and misery. The anguish in his soul due to his evil conduct is more than he can bear. He cannot do without Jesus. His soul craves for his master, and he isn't worthy to have Jesus ever look at him again. What transpired within his soul during these hours, I am not able to tell you. In my thoughts, I see him sitting. A great tears of upright sorrow and grief roll down his cheeks, and suddenly his master stands by him. Jesus does not push him away. No, but the Savior seeks and finds him. This is more than Peter ever dared expect. We do not know about what these two spoke. The Bible is silent about it. We only are told the Lord Jesus also appeared unto Peter. God's word tells us no more. But one thing is certain, Peter's sin, which was very grievous, was forgiven by the Savior. Jesus also died for him on the accursed cross. The Savior also poured out his blood for Peter. What do you think? Was there a place in the heart of Peter for the Savior? I need not ask this. You easily can give an answer, can't you? Peter was a lost sinner, but Jesus had merited life for those who are lost, for such who are worthy of condemnation. Jesus did not come for the righteous. No, but he came for lost sinners. Today, thousands of people speak about the loving Jesus, but they never had had their sins discovered to them. They never have been sinners before God in truth. They never have learned to be as one who is lost. Oh, boys and girls, never forget it. If ever you will learn to know the Savior, a place must first be made in your soul for him. You must first learn that you lie lost in guilt and sin. The Holy Ghost works this in the hearts of all God's people. Implore the Lord to teach you this.